Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app and ESPN News. Blah, blah, blah. Let's talk some sports.
We got the mics working this morning. That's a good start.
I heard that they were off yesterday. Key, you hear
morning, Max Kellerman. How are you doing?
Good morning. You know, let me tell you something, Key. Whenever I listen to a podcast or anything like that, I got to sit through 5 minutes of everyone trying to be clever and say hello and everything. Unless anything interesting happened to anyone in the last 24 hours since we signed off? If not, let's talk some sports, for crying out loud.
Why'd you call him by his full government name, Key?
What'd you get? What happened, Key?
You woke up to do the show a second 4 hours. That's good. I didn't think you would make it. This is new territory for you early in the morning, buddy.
As you know, I feel morally superior now that I'm getting up so early. I look around at the rest of the world, Key, and think, you lazy people, get out of bed. Key, do you...
You know they're up in Europe already, though, overseas. Well,
they are up in Europe already. Shocking. Mind-blowing content, Key.
So they can't possibly be lazy because they beat us. You know?
I understand what you're saying, Key. I think it misses the point, but... We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Is everyone aware of that? That all guests join us via the Goodyear hotline?
Okay.
Guys, we start the day with the Chiefs and the Browns. It's coming up this weekend. Start the day is brought to you by Indeed. Smart hiring made simple. Visit Indeed.com/credit. I want you to listen to what Mike Tannenbaum. Well, no, before we even get to that, let's get into the Browns and the Chiefs. This matchup was my pick for the game that's going to teach us the most about, you know, the game one that's going to teach us the most that I'm most looking forward to is Browns-Chiefs. Key, Jay, you guys had different picks, but would you agree, Key, that this is the marquee matchup of the football season, week one?
Yeah, I think so, because you got two teams, right? You got a team that had to retool his offensive line to figure out how to get back to the Super Bowl, and they realized that the offensive line was the reason that they did not win the Super Bowl. And then you got a team that wanted to strengthen their defense in the Cleveland Browns. They get back OBJ on the offensive side, nothing changes much over there, but defensively they kind of had, I don't want to call it a makeover, but they added some pieces like John Johnson and Troy Hill from the Rams. Then they go out and they draft a corner. Then I think they're going to get Delpont back, the safety that they drafted from LSU a year ago that got injured in training camp. And then they get Jadeveon Clowney. So they went out and added some pieces because they felt defensively they were not quite where the offense was at.
You see, for me, this is the year for the Browns. This is the year. And here are the reasons why. Number one, they have the best offensive line in football. Ranks number one in pass blocks, number one in run blocks.
Which almost never happens.
Almost never happens, Max. Number two, when you have names like Jarvis Landry, OBJ, emerging player in Rashad Higgins, okay, I love that wide receiving core. And you probably have the best duo runners in the game, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt. But also for Baker Mayfield, make or break year for him, but here's why he's going to succeed. First three seasons, man, he's thrown for over 3,500 yards. It's not unrealistic to sit here and say that passing yards, he couldn't reach 4,000. If he were to have 30 touchdowns around that range, keep his turnovers to single digits and a high passer rating, I mean, Baker Mayfield, if he plays off what he did last year, I do believe with the talent on the field, I'm not saying the continuity is right there, right out of the gate, but Kevin Stefanski, with the way they play, this team was in the ball game with Casey last year. Now, I know that.
Lost by one score.
I know Patrick Mahomes is hurt. But if there's anything that gives you confidence in the offseason that you belong on that damn field, it was last year's performance and the way Baker Mayfield ended the season last year.
Look, I asked Marquee, and obviously the Bucs and the Cowboys, you know, Super Bowl champs and the Cowboys, that's a Marquee matchup. But Zach Martin going down and you know, Ndamukong Suh coming back and the champs are at home, and I think most people are expecting the Bucs to win. This game is not only marquee, but revealing. Key, I'm thinking about Baker Mayfield, and he was the number one overall pick and had four head coaches in a little over 2 years, like 2 years and a game. But he got Stefanski, and he looks really good. Key, I don't think anyone would call Baker Mayfield elite, because when you start to look at the package, what does he do great? I was thinking about this. What does Baker do great? The one thing maybe you could argue he does great is make decisions quickly under pressure for a young quarterback. He does that pretty damn well. Where do you think Baker fits in to the quarterback hierarchy? Can he take another step? Is this the guy that we have now and basically he's plateaued?
What is it that he needs to really do, Max, right? You look at what they're asking him to do, and he's doing everything that they're asking him to do. In 3 years, all he's done is continue to get better. Even though, despite having, as you mentioned, well, I wouldn't call them four head coaches. I'll call one head coach and three dudes that wore the uniform. So
three dudes who can't get a job right now in the NFL, basically. That's pretty bad.
Well, they got, not head coaching jobs. No. But when you talk about Baker Mayfield, there's only about five elite quarterbacks in the National Football League. Then there's other guys that do their job for their teams. And he's one of the guys that do the job for the team. Doesn't make him a bad quarterback. Doesn't make him a great quarterback. Just makes him efficient. And you win championships with efficiency. You don't win championships with the greatest quarterbacks of all times every single year. It doesn't happen that way. Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl. Joe Flacco hit in the playoffs. Joe Flacco was not great in the regular season, but he hit in the playoffs and he won the Super Bowl on the backs of the defense, but he was the guy driving the bus. And when he drove the bus, he drove it right into $100+ million contract at that point in time. So when you look at a guy like Baker Mayfield, yes, he may not have the ideal look as a superstar quarterback because he's kind of short and stocky and those sort of things. He doesn't have the biggest of arm, but he is efficient. And I'll take efficiency over somebody who's sexy all day long.
All right, listen to what Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN front office insider, had to say on Get Up. Jay, I want you to listen and react to this.
Baker Mayfield, in my opinion, is a really good player. He's not a great player. And there's probably an $8 or $10 million difference between what a good quarterback gets paid, like a Kirk Cousins, let's say, and then the recent elite deals like the Dak Prescott's recently got. And Cleveland's done an incredible job. They have a really good roster, and the more money that goes to Baker Mayfield, the less they have to keep some of their key players, like they just extended Nick Chubb. Denzel Ward will need an extension in the near future. So if I'm Cleveland, I try to pay Baker Mayfield appropriately, but I don't go too far because I don't want to lose some of these other key players that they've done a great job of assembling.
I'm with Tannenbaum to a degree. I recognize that Andrew Berry, the GM, the youngest GM in the game of football, but seems very patient and very mature with the way he handles a lot of his off-season decisions, and Kevin Stefanski, that you don't want to overly pay for Baker Mayfield. So I think you do pay appropriately. But this whole thing that Baker Mayfield can't be a great quarterback, I think is BS. I think he does have a chance to be a great quarterback, because being a great quarterback also means you have a great fit with the talent you have around you, Max. Now, I'm not saying he deserves Josh Allen money. You're not going to give him a six-year, $268 million extension. But, I mean, QBs of his range, you have to think, have to be in that $30, $35 million range per year for a guy like Baker Mayfield?
Key, in a hard cap league, you got to price commodities appropriately. Like, if you misprice them, if you overpay Peter, you got to rob Paul because there's a hard cap. And you hear Tannenbaum say that he's kind of closer to Cousins, right, than Dak. That's what I infer from it. You think Baker is closer in value to a guy like Kirk Cousins or Dak Prescott,
no.
Key?
Well, first of all, Mike is a general manager, so he's speaking as a general manager capologist as if he's still in the league. His mind hasn't shifted away from that. So when you talk about a salary cap-driven league, I can pay who I want to pay, okay? And I know you say rob Peter to pay Paul. Yeah, that may be the case. At some point, it may catch up to you. It's all about the creative structuring on your salary cap space to be able to fit guys in that you believe you want to pay.
You pay Baker now, top dollar?
Baker Mayfield's going to get top dollar. It's not a matter of what I pay him. He's going to fall in line, much like I've said from day one on all quarterbacks every single year from my days back at 710 in L.A. Do you pay Carson Wentz and Jared Goff? Yes,
hold on,
that happens.
Are we talking top dollar? Is that Patrick Mahomes? Is that Josh Allen? Is that
Aaron
Rodgers top dollar?
they're gonna all fall within pennies of each other, though, Jay.
Right. Let's leave Mahomes out of it. Mahomes smashed everybody, right? Let's leave Mahomes out of it. But like the Dak deal, you know, $100 million plus, the guarantee in the right range, all that kind
of
stuff.
All of it is gonna be within reach of each other, whether it's on the plus side or on the minus side. It's the reality of what your quarterback is, and your quarterback is the leader of your team. In your captain and the guy that is driving the bus, you're going to pay him. That's just the reality of it.
Be a part of KJM Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. Call in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's back. So are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Up next, Jay is going to explain why he loves something that the Patriots starting quarterback said yesterday. That's after he tells you about Grainger.
For all the ones who get it done, like Baker Mayfield, Grainger is always there to help. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people even safer. Listen to this. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop on by.
As a fan, this is amazing.
This is the time
of the year.
This is what we talked about. This is real, man.
This is real. Are you ready? Because I'm ready.
This is Freddie Coleman, and you know I'm ready.
This is Greedy. Northwestern is ready.
Ian Fitzsimmons here. I'm ready. And so are Oklahoma and Texas. Sort of. The SEC.
Football is back, and it kicks off every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, and continues all day on ESPN Radio.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Let's go to Ken in the truck.
Wicked excited to see how Max performs with an NFL starting quarterback.
Ron in Medford.
Matt Jones has been very underrated coming out of college. He's right up Josh McDaniels' alley. It's almost going to be like when Brady was a rookie.
All right, y'all. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN2. By the way, the Dr. Pepper call-in line or the Twitter feed, at Key, Jay, and Max, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. It's time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Listen to Mac Jones. Mac Jones, Keyshawn Johnson, who beat out Cam Newton for the starting job. By the way, Key, Key and I were the two people I heard on the network constantly saying we'd take Cam. So we were in the same boat when Mac got announced.
I love that you're doing sports talk radio right now, Max, with the beat out thing. I love it.
Well, you knew how that narrative was going to continue, Key. You knew, like a couple months, oh, yeah, he beat him out. I mean, COVID was never part of it. There were never any.
Actually,
that's fine.
Actually,
good luck.
I saw after,
I don't care.
After game two of the preseason, I thought Cam pretty clearly had the lead, it seemed to me. But game three wasn't so good for Cam, and Mac was getting raves out of camp. But whatever, he has the job as the point.
He played one series in game three.
We're past it. We're all past it. He has the
job.
It is what it is.
Look, listen to what he had to say when he was asked if he was surprised, in spite of what Keyshawn Johnson's been saying, if he was surprised to be named the starter, Mac Jones.
Not really. I mean, like I always say, I prepare to be the starter, and every day you come in, and I got a chance to get a lot of reps, so nothing really changes, just trying to be a good teammate, trying to learn the plays every day, and fix what I messed up on, and listen to Josh and all the guys in the quarterback room and just take the advice like I always have since I've been here, and like I said, nothing really changes, so it's exciting.
That's on Merlone and Faria on WEEI. All right. Key, what did you think of Mac Jones's answer when asked if, in spite of what you said, he was surprised he was named the starter?
No, Jay, you answer that, man. You go ahead and answer that.
You tell me
what you think.
This is like, Key, this is like Russell Crowe and Gladiator spitting, saying, are you not entertained? Is this not why you are here? There's remnants of this to me that have a little of that Tom Brady edge. Right. And I know it's easy to do the Tom Brady comparisons because both guys are donning Patriot uniforms and, you know, the young stages of their career. But when he says not really to me and then he goes into coaches speak, I think the not really is the edge that you want from your quarterback. Right. Now, is he going to sit there and say, yeah, I've always planned to beat out Cam Newton? No. But at the same time, he's confident. And if we know anything as being rookies coming into the league, Key, you have to have some kind of swag about you. You have to have some kind of air about you to make veterans believe in your skill set. Now, I know this from being a point guard. It was a challenge for me initially to win people over, to tell other grown men what they needed to do and where they needed to be, to get them to buy into how I wanted to lead. So for Mac Jones, I think saying not really goes to show you the edge is there. But then the coach's talk goes to say, hey, I also have a lot to learn here. And I'm not saying I know it all, but I do know what I bring to the table each and every damn day. And I think that edge is important for him to be successful.
You're an edge,
so
Key.
So here I go. What else is he supposed to say?
I mean, he could have said nothing, Key. He could have given you coach's talk the whole time. Like, you know,
yeah,
I just came here, work.
But confidence-wise, what he's supposed to say? He's supposed to say, oh, I expected to start the entire time because I know what I'm doing and I know what I bring to the table. He's supposed to carry that type of confidence, and there's no question about it. So when he said that, I was like, oh, okay. I understand. He was picked 15th in the first round. Typically, when you pick 15th in the first round, you're probably going to start. That's probably going to be the case, and especially if you're putting in the work. It clearly, they felt enough confidence in him that he was putting in the work that they named him the starter. You don't see that all the time where guys come in and not ready to go. Coming from Alabama and playing for Nick Saban certainly helps him be ready because this team is poised to make a strong run in the AFC. Yes, Cam Newton, in my opinion, probably would have been best served to be the starting quarterback. But I'm not there every single day. Bill Belichick is there and Josh McDaniels is there every day. They're in the classroom. They understand what Mac Jones is doing on the board. Is he transferring the information to the field and distributing that to the players in the huddle? He probably was. That's why they made a decision that no matter whether it was COVID or whatever the case factored into the decision to let Cam go, that decision was made. They felt comfortable enough to go into week one against the Miami Dolphins in a tough defense with a rookie quarterback and said, okay, he gives us the best chance to win. That's what it was.
See, I think it was a big deal. I mean, his comment is whatever. I agree with Key here, Jay, only because what he's really saying is you always prepare like you're going to – like, why wouldn't you
Absolutely.
Prepare? Every player should prepare like they're going to play. So that – and I get you, it's confident. He's saying all the right things, but he's also – it's from the, you know, playbook of what you're supposed to say. I agree with that. But it's interesting to me because, Key, I do think he beat Cam out. And I was with you. If I was Belichick, I'd start – the veteran quarterback who's been to a Super Bowl. I do the same thing in San Francisco, right? Start the veteran. Start Garoppolo. He's been to a Super Bowl. And then you bring the young guy along. But hold on. My point about Mac Jones beating him out is I hear what you're saying. He's picked 15th in the first round. When has Belichick ever used a first-round pick on a quarterback, right? That tells you a lot. But Key, Bill Belichick, with a Super Bowl-ready roster, you would think, is going to select a rookie to try to take you there? Wouldn't that have to mean he beat out the veteran since no rookie has ever taken a squad to the Super Bowl, not even ever gotten there? I got to think he legit beat him out.
You gotta take everything and look at it, right? What's the context of him beating him out? Did he just flat out roll him up? No, he didn't. And I'm not going to sell it that way. I'm not going to sit on national television and just say, oh, he beat him out. It was not a beat out. It was a decision made by the staff and the head coach to go with the best guy that they felt gives them the best chance to win at that particular moment in time.
But now, that's a beat out.
But here's what I would say. Well, there's a lot of factors in that, though, Max. It ain't just he beat him out. There's some other stuff there now. Now, what I would say is, as they made this decision, as Belichick put on his thinking cap, they looked at young Tom Brady. And they said, we got a defense. We can run the ball. We got two tight ends. I understand what we're going to do. We can methodically, as I talked about earlier, about winning a championship for the Cleveland Browns. They are taking that model where you're not going to screw things up for us. We're going to play defense, run the football, and we're going to allow you to make a handful of throws. We want you to be 15-17, a buck 89 and a touchdown, and we're going to win. That's what the model's going to be.
That was straight talk wireless. A lot of words, meaning he beat him out. No contract, no compromise. All right, coming up, 5 key matchups. Very clever, Keyshawn Johnson, key matchups in week 1 of the NFL. That's after I tell you about my computer career. Did you know the arrow in Amazon's logo represents A to Z? Bet you didn't know that. Maybe the My Computer Career logo should represent unemployed to employed. Ryan, for example, was out of work when he started classes in March. In September, he started his IT career working for Amazon, making more money than he ever thought possible. Here's a prime opportunity. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Hey, it's Greeny, and Wednesday will be one day away from the start of the NFL season. Got to get you ready for any late fantasy drafts, for any gambling decisions you need to make, and of course, for the Cowboys and Buccaneers kicking it off. It's Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I'm the smartest guy in the box, so I like that too.
Key's Real Rankings.
All right, It's time for Key's Real Rankings, brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Let's go, Key.
Yeah,
number five.
At number five, we're talking about Andy Dalton traveling to Los Angeles to take on the Rams in that star-studded defense. Mind you, there's only two stars on that defense. So I think a lot of people are underestimating or overestimating the Rams' defense. Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey are the two stars on the defense. When you look at the solid unit that they had a year ago, the departure of Staley, the defensive coordinator, leaves and goes to the Los Angeles Chargers. You talk about Joe Barry, who's now the defensive coordinator, that was a linebacker coach, goes to Green Bay. They lose guys in free agency. Although, when you look at this defense, they still got a guy in Aaron Donald who can cause havoc and make changes on the defensive side of the ball. Can Andy Dalton do enough to get the Chicago Bears over the hump against the Rams, or will we see Justin Fields early and often?
Number four.
This is the top five matchups as a whole. As I look at number four now, I take a look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensive line against the kind of banged up Dallas Cowboys. Who has the edge? It's simple and easy as far as we're concerned. It's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. When you talk about guys like Vita Vea, you talk about Dominique Sue, you look at JPP. And then when you bring guys out of the second wave of defense, a Devin White at linebacker, a Devontae Davis, those guys will be blitzing early and often to try to get at the quarterback in Dak Prescott because of the offensive line. There will be no Zach Martin in this position. We all agree, I think, in this matchup that the Bucs clearly have the advantage.
Number three.
Number three, the New England Patriots. We just talked about Mac Jones. Mac Jones against Coach Flores for the first time, a Miami Dolphins tough defense. Will they get after the rookie? Will they cause his debut to be mixed signals? I don't know. I think Bill Belichick probably has a plan in store to protect his young quarterback. That is key to beating up on this defense. But if you think about it, the Miami Dolphins have always given the New England Patriots problems on the defensive side of the ball.
Number two.
Number two, Lamar Jackson, Baltimore Ravens. They go out west to play the Las Vegas Raiders in Las Vegas. That place will be crazy, Jay Will. But can Lamar Jackson take advantage of this awful defense that's been retooled? They bring in Dan Quinn to see if he can get things, better yet, Gus Bradley. They bring in Gus Bradley to see if he can get things done on the defensive side of the ball because they have not paid off the dividends on that side of the ball with the draft picks. They've missed on a number of guys. Can the Raiders somehow make Lamar Jackson look less than an MVP?
Number one.
In number one, the Cleveland Browns secondary against the Kansas City Chiefs receivers. Or you could go to Kansas City Chiefs secondary against the Cleveland Browns wide receivers. Whatever matchup you choose in this situation as the number one ranking, it is going to be must-see TV. There's no question about it. They're going to be flying all over the place on the defensive side of the ball. They've retooled things in the secondary, bringing over John Johnson and Troy Hill from the Rams. They also drafted a kid named Delpont out of LSU a year ago. He should be back in the lineup. You got a young guy in Greedy Williams that's coming off injury back in the lineup. So when you think about the secondary and the pressures that they bring, it can be incredible for that young quarterback on the other side.
And that was Key's top five matchups during week one. Key, I want to let Key in on, so to speak, on the Browns secondary versus the Chiefs wide receiver tight end group, or vice versa. Because to me, I love that matchup. To me, that's the one I'm looking forward to. But I'm also thinking about that Kansas City O-line that they revamped in one offseason. They brought in, remember, both tackles missing, three offensive linemen, and they were getting destroyed in the Super Bowl. They went, got Orlando Brown Jr. on the blind side. Joe Tooney at guard. Can't do better than that. They brought in Blythe from the Rams and then drafted Chris Humphrey. Fell to them. So, Blythe doesn't even start. All of a sudden, you look at that line, and then on the other side, Myles Garrett. Listen to what Myles Garrett said during a wide-ranging interview with the Akron Beacon Journal. Quote, "Well, hell, I got to prove I'm LeBron first before anything. I got to prove I'm the playmaker at all levels. He's in the top three in any debate you have. Myles Garrett saying he's got to be the LeBron James of defenders. I'm also looking at that Cleveland defense against that revamped Kansas City O-line, Jay.
Can I defend? Because I know when people hear, you know how it works. Whenever you hear LeBron James in the same sentence with another athlete, people say, what the hell are you doing? Why would you ever compare yourself to LeBron James? So the way Myles Garrett looks at this whole thing is LeBron James was that guy when he came back to Cleveland. He needed Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love to help him go the next level, to bring the first championship to the Cleveland Cavs organization. I think what Myles Garrett is talking about here is the addition of Jadeveon Clowney, and you think about guys like Malik, right? I'm drawing a blank on his last name. Malik, help me out, Key. You talk about Malik Jackson, right?
Jackson.
On a defensive end, right? And I think when you think about a guy like Myles Garrett, to be healthy has been the question. I mean, be healthy. He had a suspension. Never played 16 games throughout his NFL career. And then last year he had COVID. But when you think about the top-tier players as far as defensive player of the year, his name has to be in that conversation. Obviously, you're going to have T.J. Watt in that conversation. Obviously, Key just talked about Aaron Donald. But Myles Garrett is in that conversation if he can have the best ability, it's availability. If he can stay durable, he will be in that
conversation. He is Myles Garrett. Like, you know, like I think about J.J. Watt once upon a time. He was different than everybody else. I think about Aaron Donald today, just a different dude. When I'm looking at Myles Garrett, he's excellent. But is he next that way? Is he a different dude, Key?
Look, he's a red dot guy, okay? No question about it. What I mean by a red dot guy, when you're sitting in the film room and you have the laser printer and the coaches are telling you, we've got to block this guy, he's going to cause us a headache. That's true. But he hasn't taken that next leap, like that Von Miller, that J.J. Watt, DeMarcus Ware. He hasn't taken that leap where you're like, oh, my God, this dude's about to have 25 Michael Strahan sacks on him. It just hasn't gotten to that point. Now, he's still young, and he's, too, had several defensive coordinators teaching him. So I think in time he will take that next step. He's certainly a guy that would completely cause havoc on the defensive side of the ball. You've got to pay attention to who he is. I think this year is a telltale on whether he can get to that Aaron Donald level where all of a sudden, no matter where he lines up at and what he does, he's going to make a major impact on sniffing out the football.
CJ, when I hear Von Miller, I get it, because Von Miller is also like a clutch player, right? Mm-hmm. When I hear DeMarcus Ware, I'm thinking beyond Ware. I'm thinking like J.J. Watt to me.
How you going to think beyond Ware,
man? Because J.J. Watt and Aaron Donald, when I think of the best front seven I could ever make, you have to consider those two on the front set ever. Like all time.
But DeMarcus Ware walking into that yellow jacket, though.
Key, that's what I'm saying. There's even a different level. Like, I don't doubt Myles Garrett could get to that level that you're talking about. Now I'm talking about, are you in the conversation ever, all time? The dude I see right now like that is actually Chase Young, where I think with everyone out there playing defense, who do I see as being a dude where we'll tell our grandkids, yo, you had to see this
dude. Let me bring you inside a little bit, though, Max. When you start talking about J.J. Watt, yes, he's defensive player of the year and all those sort of things, but a lot of other stuff comes with the hype. And when you push up the hype, you get a little bit more. When you talk about a guy like Chase Young came from Ohio State. We saw what Chase Young was able to do at Ohio State. He was ridiculous.
Right.
So when he walks in, you sit there and that sizzle, it's almost like Zion in basketball at Duke. He came in with such high praise that it was like, okay, we're waiting to see. Myles Garrett didn't come in like that. Myles Garrett came in as the number one guy, but he didn't have all of the fluff and yeast around him. So nothing would push
yeast.
Him up. That means that boost things up.
Same.
But it didn't.
Saying Myles Garrett came in like matzah,
you
and
said
this
it.
Guy came in with yeast. Yeast.
But when you talk about it, though, he is on a trajectory, I believe, to do greatness. But his name isn't going to be popping like that.
Myles,
not
you're
yet.
Saying.
Well, no, his name is just not going to pop like that.
Don't you see this year as an opportunity for his name to pop like that?
Yes,
considering
absolutely.
That? All
and it can start on Sunday, Jay.
Yes, it can. Yeah, yes, it can.
That's what this game has. Look, I'm even thinking about the Browns.
By the way,
offense.
The Chiefs are minus six at home.
I mean, I don't even know what that means.
They're favored by less than a touchdown.
Less than a touchdown, Key. Right there.
But they're not. But I mean, that they are fair. I mean, meaning they'd be favorites on a neutral field, right? They'd be favorites. It'd be even money. No. They'd be favorites anywhere. But the point is this: the Browns offense. You mentioned it earlier. How often do we hear that's the number one pass blocking offense and run blocking offense? You almost never hear that. They were number one both last year. And independent of that, Key, they got two dudes who can run the ball and who complement each other in the back, like the best in the game really overall when you look at the tandem.
Yeah.
And now you have Odell coming back. Like, as much as you can talk about how's the Browns defense going to match up with the Chiefs' new offensive line, that Browns offense, if Baker, we talked about paying Baker like an elite quarterback, if Baker takes a step here, if Odell and him get on the same page coming back, this is going to be an impossible offense.
Well, the offense is certainly going to have its share of excitement. There's no question about it. With Landry, OBJ, Hunt, Chubb, Baker Mayfield, a tight end. I mean, Rashad Higgins, young receiver. They're gonna do some things, but that offense is not gonna all of a sudden drop back 50 times a game and let him sling it all over the lot.
Why would you when you can run like that?
But that's just not what Kevin Stefanski's system does. I mean, when you look at it, he came from a tree of like the Gary Kubiaks of the world was there mentoring him in Minnesota, teaching him how to call an efficient game. Along the way, he got really, really good at doing that. Kirk Cousins had some of his best statistical years under Kevin Stefanski. So it's a different situation when you look at this offense. But what I would say on the offensive side, the challenging secondary of Kansas City is going to be interesting because they went out and got a former first-round pick in Mike Hughes in a trade from the Minnesota Vikings. He went through some injuries over the last couple of years. If he's healthy,
that's a problem.
All 17 games, he'll be one of the top five corners in the National Football League. Mark it down.
KJM is presented by Progressive Insurance. Super Bowl champion and former Packers linebacker A.J. Hawk joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. A.J., where are you?
What's going on, Max? Yeah. Hey,
good to AJ.
I'm sure the boys are happy to have you, Max. I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys do. I already love the show.
Yes, I'm just tremendous. Hey,
we just had to start smoking cigars in the show, AJ, like you, and then we'll be all good.
AJ, you heard us.
You guys are a little early for that.
You heard us. Right, you heard us getting into Myles Garrett. Where does he stand among the best defensive players in the game, in your opinion?
Man, I mean, I have to put him in like the handful of guys that when I think about like the best defensive players in Myles Garrett. And the crazy thing I think is we're just scratching the surface of what Myles Garrett can do and what he can be. I mean, the guy obviously is an absolute physical freak, but he seems to be like a, you know, kind of an outside the box unique thinker too, that I think is always working on pass rush moves and how he can get better. So I think it's a very valid conversation to put him up there and say, like, can he be the best defensive player in the league? Yeah, I think it's definitely possible. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I think that's a real possibility.
AJ, you said outside the box, but you were talking about Myles Garrett. I'm going to say outside the box in deep thinker, and your former teammate in Aaron Rodgers is back in camp, ready to go week one against the New Orleans Saints. What are the expectations, not only for him, but also the Packers?
I mean, I think the expectations are sky high. I know they had all the off-season stuff that's going on, like, will Aaron be there, will he not, whatever's happening. And then all of a sudden he gets into camp right as it starts, and it looks like everything's going great. I mean, every day you would open up social media, you see Aaron dropping balls in the basket 60 yards away, throwing these moon balls that look beautiful. It's very tough to do. And then you see, like, where his headspace seems to be. He seems to be in a real good place and getting along with Matt LaFleur really, really well. And it seems like his relationship with the front office is growing, too. And they have a ton of talent around him. So, I mean, I think expectations are sky high. And I think for Aaron, he has huge expectations on himself. But I think when he said, yeah, like, it's Super Bowl or disappointment, I think that's kind of how it's been in Green Bay, especially these last couple of years, getting the NFC Championship and getting knocked out so abruptly and not how they wanted to end the season. I think they're looking to get off to a fast start.
Let's stay in the NFC North for a second, AJ, and let's go to Chicago Bears. Obviously, they have a big game against Aaron Donald and the Rams to start off the season. Are you a believer that Andy Dalton should be the guy to start the season, or are you a person that believes that Justin Fields should be handed the reins from the beginning?
I mean, that's a tough one. I don't know. Like, Nagy's in a tough spot, obviously, too, with what he's coaching for and what he needs to show some improvement and some hope there for Chicago, I feel like, for his job security. I mean, I guess I'd have to be there every day in camp and see him, but what we have seen from Justin Fields, the guy has just been unbelievable so far in what he can do and as far as leadership and what he's doing on the field. So, yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem at all with them starting Andy week one, especially when it's a tough team like the Rams, and we'll see how their defense really tries to get after that Chicago offensive line. I like what they're doing. I think, yeah, give Andy a shot, and if he continues to play well and they're winning games, yeah, then you can kind of let Justin Fields try to develop and maybe throw him in, though, have some packages. I know Sean McVay's already said that they're going to have to prepare that Justin Fields may have some time when he is in the game and have a few packages for him, whether it's red zone, whatever you do. I like that. And then maybe try to slowly work him in, and hopefully Andy is still playing well. And if something comes up and they're not winning games, then they can put Justin Fields in and see how he does.
A.J. Hawk, former Packers linebacker, Ohio State Buckeye, great, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and my man Max. A.J., the Packers made the NFC title game over the last couple years. What do they need to do, though, to get to the dance, to get to L.A., to the Super Bowl? Championship game, yes, but what do they need to do to get over the hump?
Well, I mean, I think, Keyshawn, you know as well as anybody, like, I may sound like a super cliche, old corny coach, but they need to find a way to stop the run when it matters, and they need to find a way to protect the quarterback when it matters. I think we saw that last couple of years. Like, you got to find a way to stop the run when you know a team is going to run the ball, and they just haven't been able to do that when it really matters the most. And you don't have to sit there and rush for 150 yards a game and make sure you hold everybody to under 50 yards rushing. Like, you don't have to do that. And I think you just have to find a way, like, when it matters the most, can your team stand up? Can they find a way to stop that team? Like, when all right, I've been there. It's a tough spot when you know this team is going to try to say, run the clock out on you, and you just can't stop them for whatever reason. Every play seems like there's one guy out of position or one guy missing a tackle. Like, you need to find a way to get that situated. And I know they have a new defensive coordinator there, and they have high hopes for that defense, no question, but I think it comes down to that. I really do.
AJ, talking to AJ Hawk, former Packers linebacker on the Goodyear Hotline, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. How does a team win? Well, they got to find a way to score more points, right? Like, than the other team at the end of the game. So I hear you on stopping the run when it matters. I think that's a great point. When it matters, you know, can you get it done? But when you say find a way, what does that mean? And I know it's the players and the coaches, but to me it sounds like a coaching issue, right? Like, you got to scheme it up better. Or is it more desire on the part of their players, more playing together? When you say find a way, what ways are there? Like, what are you pointing to specifically?
Max, that's a great follow-up, honestly, because when I was saying that to you, like, I started to run through my head what you can do to try to stop the run, what you can do schematically and personnel-wise. I think it's a combination of everything. Of course, yeah, like, the scheme matters, your personnel matters. Guys have to buy in and know, like, hey, this is what we do. Like, you can't have D linemen thinking, like, oh, that's not my gig. Like, I'm a three technique, or I'm a shade, and my job is to get after the quarterback and get sacks. I'm like, well, no, it's not. When they're trying to pound the ball on you, we don't need you swim moving in the A gap and exposing the rest of our defense. So I'm not saying they have guys doing that, but a lot of times when teams are able to run, it's usually just one guy out of position. So I think schematically, yeah, there's a lot that the defensive coordinator can do to put them in position, but then you kind of leave yourself out to dry on the back end. You hope your guys in the back end can hold up. And I think their secondary is very, very good, and they can hold up. So I think it's a combination of everything, personnel and all that. I don't think it's an issue with their personnel. I think they have plenty of talent on defense and big guys up front that can kind of try to win the line of scrimmage. So I think the new scheme should give them some hope and give them some rejuvenate them a little bit. But it's always these little things. It's never like one glaring thing when a defense is getting gashed. It's just like one guy out of position or somebody. Once the team starts to run on you,
people start to get out of position and they feel like, hey, I need to do more than my responsibility. I need to do somebody else's job. And then everyone starts doing that. Everyone starts peaking every once in a while, and bam, next thing you know, you're sent home and you're watching the rest of the playoffs on TV.
Super Bowl champion and former Packers linebacker A.J. Hawk. A.J., thanks a million for coming on the show.
Buckeyes, baby. We have big game this weekend, A.J.
Out.
Let's go.
So we got to get out of here. Thanks, A.J. Appreciate it. On the Goodyear Hotline. Guys, wait till you hear who one Hall of Famer says is destined to win the Super Bowl this year. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.